Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Global Spirits Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. We have with us today on the call from the management team of Global Spirits Limited, Mr. Shekhar Swarup, Joint MD, Mr. Paramjit Gill, CEO, Consumer Division, Mr. Bhaskar Roy, COO, Mr. Niranjan Sarkar, CFO, along with Stellar IR Advisors. The management will be sharing key updates and financial highlights for the quarter ended June 30, 2024, which will be followed by a question-and-answer session. Please note, this call may contain some of the forward-looking statements which are completely based upon the company's beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today. These statements are not a guarantee of the future performance and involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. The company also undertakes no obligation to update any forward-looking statement to reflect developments that occur after a statement is made. Documents relating to the company's financial performance are available on the website of the stock exchange and the company's investor section. Trust you have been able to go through the same. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shekhar Swarup for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our Q1 FY25 earnings call. Our presentation has been uploaded on the exchange, and I hope you had a chance to go through it. In Q1 FY25, we saw a margin improvement compared to Q4 due to a change in raw material mix away from rice and to maize, and due to a good Rabi crop in East India. In this period, we also managed to procure additional inventory of maize, which is helping us keep RM costs under some control in the East. However, a more promising recovery in margins is expected towards the end of Q3 with good monsoons, expectations of a normal paddy crop, and a significant increase in maize cultivation across the country. Moderator, there seems to be an echo. Could you please, is my line clear?
Yes, sir, your line is clear. I don't hear an echo. You can go ahead.
Okay. Okay. Sorry for the interruption. I was talking about a significant increase in maize cultivation in the Kharif crop this year. As mentioned previously, our average of commodity cycle margins are in the range of rupees 7 per liter, with periods of volatility in margins during the course of the cycle. Maize offers us opportunities to hedge our positions. We are actively working with traders and stockists to help reduce volatility in raw material costs. These opportunities were not present when we were largely using rice, and we are excited about these hedging opportunities in the future. By and large, the change to maize has been very successful. However, there continues to be headroom and improvement in operations with maize. We hope to improve our profitability and productivity, which should increase our profitability by about 15%-20% in the next two quarters. Coming to our brands business, our regular and other brands continue to operate as per expectations. In a first of a few, we launched Great Times brand in UP. The state has the largest salience of regular and others category in India, and we're excited about the prospects in the state backed by our own production premises in Lakhimpur, Central UP. The unit is currently bottling our entire range of brands for the state, and we have started construction of a distillery here. The facility is being created with a focus on consistent and quality supplies to our consumer business for the state. The CapEx at this facility is expected to be around 120 crores. Our high-value, high-growth, prestige, and above brands continue to perform in line with our expectations. We launched Brothers & Co., an exciting whiskey brand in Q1 in the state of UP. It is a unique product that is a blend of Scotch, American bourbon, and Indian single malts. I now request Param to take us through the performance of this business.
Thank you, Shekhar. Good afternoon, everyone. Coming to our high-growth prestige and above segment, the performance has been robust and encouraging. For the quarter gone by, we witnessed a sales volume of 0.19 million cases with a growth of 292% year-on-year and 50% quarter-on-quarter. We expect profitability to improve with volume growth on the back of same state growth and new state growth. We have recently also ventured into the Goa market, which takes the total number of states to 7. We have gained good traction in Mountain Oak Whiskey as well as Snosky Vodka and flavors, and are working to replicate this success in our new launches as well. We are focusing on innovative brands to be added in our offerings and have more exciting launches planned in FY25. Coming to regular and other segment, this segment continues to perform well for the company with a total volume of 3.95 million and a growth of 13% year-on-year and 15% quarter-on-quarter, and total EBITDA profitability of 430 million rupees, followed with a growth of 47% quarter-on-quarter. The regular and others is an entrenched mature business with high market shares in Rajasthan. We have entered UP in this segment, as mentioned by Shekhar. This state is a sizable opportunity, and we are very excited about the possibilities that this will create for us, as the UP market size is almost 65 million cases per annum. Our recent brand launches of Mountain Oak and Snosky Vodka in the prestige and above segment have been very well received across markets. These two brands are going to get expanded into the balance markets as we start getting approvals from excise in the new policies. Our latest offering of RTD, which is ready to drink, is named Not Out, has just been launched in Delhi, and the initial prospects are encouraging. We will see through its further expansion into Uttar Pradesh in the coming quarter. As you will note that the green shoots of our strategy to strengthen our market capability first, state by state, and then riding on it with an array of brands to succeed is now beginning to yield initial results. I'm very happy to share that 3 out of the first choice of 5 states are in a good position to start benefiting from this strategy as we have entered our third year of business. I would now like to hand over to Nilanjan. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. As illustrated in the investor presentation, the margins have improved on the back of a strategic shift in the raw material, as we have moved to maize and also our consumer business performing well. Our net revenue Q1 FY25 was 642 crores, up by 13% year-on-year and 6% quarter-on-quarter. The revenue increase has been mainly on account of higher revenue in the consumer division, whose saliency has increased by 5% quarter-on-quarter and 3% year-on-year. Manufacturing in Q1 FY25 has been better due to change of mix, and the units have done well to pivot to the new raw material, which is maize. There is headroom for improving performance as we get better using this raw material through better purchasing and better processes. Regular and other segments, quarter-on-quarter revenue increase has been 20% and performing as per expectation, with some packing cost pressures in Q1 and with bottle cost reducing by 17 paisa per bottle effective August 24th. The same will be mitigated. Prestige and above performing well, with loss coming down and revenues multiplying. Quarter on quarter revenue increase has been 88% and the brands have been showing good traction. As a result of the above, the EBITDA margin is at 8%, which for Q4 was at 4%. Our net debt levels, net of cash and cash equivalent, is at 331 crores, a change of 35% quarter on quarter and 31% year on year. With this, I request the moderator to open the call for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. An operator will take your name and announce your turn in the question queue. Participants are requested to only use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nitya Shah from Kamaya Kya Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on good margin recovery quarter on quarter. So my first question would be on, I want to understand what is the distribution strategy going forward for the prestige and above segment. Now you mentioned you entered 7 states. So I'm from Maharashtra, for example. So in Mumbai and Pune, when I asked at a few shops for Terrazin, they said it was unavailable. So I just want to understand that how do you plan to increase the distribution going forward? What is the thought process here?
Param, could you take that, please? Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Shah. So the distribution strategy is two-pronged. One is where our mainstream bouquet of brands, including the luxury brands Terai and the forthcoming luxury offerings, will all collectively go in a sequence because this particular state will depend on the route to market strengthening by us and then building up the brand portfolio on it. The second string of states which is going to get ahead of this is the states where we will only have our luxury portfolio, and this segment is planned to expand further because our national footprint will be much slower than the luxury footprint. And Goa is an example of this, where we have only introduced Terai and will be introducing our future coming luxury brand ranges. The mainstream of brands will follow a lot later, whereas states like UP, Delhi and West Bengal have a full bouquet of range, and this will get added to it with every excise policy coming, which allows the additional bouquet of new brands to come through. Hope I have clarified the distribution strategy.
Yes,
at this point, I'd just like to add that at this point of time, in this year, we are expecting that we will more or less remain with these 7 states, and towards the end of this financial year, we will start seeding work on a couple of states which will go through their initial phases in the coming year. Because in these 7 states, there is still some work to be done to start strengthening our route to market in the balance 4 states out of 7, with 3 starting to get cemented.
Understood. And my second question was, now I've been reading multiple articles where, there's a big growth in single malt whiskies in India, especially with your competitors also launching new products. So even I saw that there's a product launch planned this year for single malt whiskies for Globus too. So just wanted to understand that what would be the, unique selling point for your company when there's already so many players and who already established themselves over the last few years. So how do we plan on penetrating in this segment?
So I think the unique strategy of the new offerings which are planned for, we will obviously divulge at the time when the brand is in the market, which you will appreciate purely for confidential purposes. However, I am very confident to state that even the brands which have started building up traction and are on a very strong momentum, like Mountain Oaks, North Key, they have been able to carve out their own unique place in heavily crowded markets, which shows that the uniqueness of our offerings, not only in terms of liquid, in terms of blend, but also in terms of packaging, and the way we are robustly using our route to market, we have been able to successfully do. This gives us sufficient confidence that the emerging segments, which include single malt, because this segment is nowhere close to getting saturated yet, will allow us even more healthier opportunities to use our differentiated brand offering and brand packaging strategies to allow a consumer to not only experience our offering, but to start offering us his loyalty measures as well.
So I'd like to just add one or two things here. Whereas in the big cities of, say, Bombay or Delhi and a few others, things
may appear to be a little more saturated, but there is a vast market in the country, and many cities do not get the service that the big cities do. I think our distribution model, as explained by Param earlier, is to focus on opportunities that exist in those seven states that we are present in. Some of those states have a strategy which is led by our sort of non-luxury brands or prestige brands, and some states now are going to be led by luxury brands. There is by no means a saturation of alcohol beverage opportunities in the country today. There is significant opportunity, and the evidence of that is what Mountain Oak and Snosky have created in such a short period of time. We hope to see our new whiskey offering, single malt whiskey offering, as well as Terai, take more space in the market going forward.
Understood. And so my last question was, in the next 2-3 years, what are the internal targets or aspirations for the company? Like, say, Prestige and Above will make up how much percentage as a pie of your revenue going forward?
Param, if you don't mind, can I take that?
Yeah, please.
Currently we are at a stage where the level of growth that we've shown in Q1, we would like to sustain for some quarters. Our regular and others business too is growing at a pretty good rate. Maybe about a year or so ago, I had said that our target is 20% of our consumer business should come from Prestige and Above. But frankly, with the growth that's happening even in the regular and others category, that it's very difficult for me to give you a number or a date by which we reach the 20%. But with the current levels of growth in both businesses, we are pretty happy to sustain this for a few quarters, and those are our targets right now.
Understood. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Awasthi from InCred Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. So two questions. One on the accounting front of the subsidiary. I believe the subsidiary has only one brand, an RTP brand, which is not out. Is that correct?
Yes. Currently, it's just a single product. There was another brand in this subsidiary, but after we invested, we have taken a decision to scale down that brand and focus only on Not Out.
Understood, sir. So the question regarding the subsidiary is that there seems to be a significant amount of loss if I compare the standalone balance sheet to the consolidated balance sheet. The loss compared to the size of the company, which is a subsidiary as of now, I think roughly 5 crores is loss, which is booked.
Yeah, Nilanjan, can you explain that, please?
Nitin, actually the loss is 54 lakhs, not 5 crores. And it's a one-time a write-off that we had to do. We are chasing for the money. It's a debtor's write-off that we had to do of around about 45 lakhs. So it's a one-time. We are pursuing that money, but it's not a significant loss because it's a one-time write-off that we have to do.
Understood. So this subsidiary's numbers are not included in the Prestige and Above category EBITDA. Is that correct?
No, it will not be included because it's a separate legal entity, so it will not be included.
Understood. So that's why this number is smaller than that number. Got it. So next, I wanted to understand about the UP market. We have a 120 crore capex planned out. The timeline is ready with us. We have received all the approvals. I think that is already in hand. So is the timeline with us? By when will we have the plant up and running, and what will be the capacity?
So the capacity is going to be 80 KL. It's going to be a multi-feed, it will have the option of using molasses as well as grain. It can run on either or, not both together. 80 KL is the capacity. And because of the nature of having two raw materials, the CapEx is a little bit higher than our typical average. The construction will, you know, start straight after monsoons. Engineering is in progress. I believe it will take about 12 months, so maybe 14 to 16 months from today.
Noted. And the size of the market alluded repeatedly, you know, UP market size was mentioned. However, it was mentioned sometimes along with all the segments. Sometimes it was mentioned separately, state. I just want to know the regular and other segment in UP, how big is that?
Param, do you have that breakup?
So you very, very broadly, I can tell you. See, if I answer to you, UP in three, the IMFL industry in UP is about, give or take, between 250 to 300 lakh cases a year. Out of this, the regular segment and other segment is about anywhere between 60 to 80 million cases. Then there is, in parallel, country liquor industry in UP, and that country liquor industry, I'm speaking in the zone, should be about 10 crore cases per annum.
So you think IMIL in UP is 10 crores, regular segment is 50 to 80 crore cases? No, sorry.
Regular segment is.
Million. So everything else you mentioned was in million, country liquor is in crores, correct?
Country liquor is in crores, rest is millions. Yeah. Country liquor is 100 million. Yeah, 10 crores.
Yeah, so that was the country. So 100 million is country liquor. So basically, it's roughly almost 200 crore regular and others, or at least growing in that direction.
Yeah. It's a huge market. Huge market.
Okay, so I think this is comparatively all the other states put together for you, in which you are in regular
Let's just hold that saying that UP is a sizable opportunity, because for all purposes, it is a huge, huge market for anybody, including us.
Understood, sir. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tarang from Old Bridge. Please go ahead.
Hi, just following back on the previous participant's question, the size of the UP market is about 200 million cases. About 100 million cases would be IMIL, and about 50 to 80 million cases would be regular and above. Is that accurate?
So the IMFL market in UP is between 250 to 300 million cases, which includes regulars and above, regular range. The regular range, regular price point across various flavors should be 65 million to 75 million cases, and the rest is prestige and above segment. In regular, I have missed out the rum. There will be some element of rum also. I have pointed out on the whiskey one, there will be an element of rum also in regular. Yeah.
Okay. And typically, when you say P&A realization, there would be what, 1,200, 1,300 rupees a case?
It starts from there. It starts from there, and then it keeps going up. That's the sort of range where the base segment of P&A starts from.
Okay, got it. Second question, I mean, in your P&A business, can we see FY25 with about 1 million cases?
Let's keep our fingers crossed. At this point of time, we have a strike range of about 2 lakh cases last quarter. We are planning in the existing quarter to top that up. And as we keep evolving, we are obviously going to keep striving for growth. I would resist putting a number in the framework at this point of time, but let's stop at saying that the strategy there is a determining data point that shows that we did make the right choice of picking up the correct stakes as well as building the route to market capability first. That strategy is playing off. I would refrain from putting a number at the year end. Yeah.
Sure. For the quarter, we saw a stark reduction in losses in this business to about 3.5 crore versus a yearly average of about 20-25 crores. So in the next 9 months, how should we look at it for the PMA business?
So my take would be, instead of while it's good to read the absolute number, but the absolute number has two components in it. One is the existing states which have started building up on their current base of a portfolio of brands. And those states are obviously racing towards, if they are profitable, then obviously racing towards improving on profitability or moving towards reducing losses and coming into the profitable zone. And then every time we launch a new state, the new state, obviously, it is a seeding capital. And you have to invest money in that state for a couple of years. So as the existing five states, the first five which I had started out, our intention is that all these five states will start yielding positive results in the fourth year sometime, if not before that. And at this point of time, we can with pride say that we already have the first state which has broken even, and we are very confident that more states will follow as time will keep moving on. So our losses will keep on reducing, because by what margin, it's a little bit difficult for me to say, because when we will introduce a new state, a seeding could be a little more than anticipated or a little less than anticipated. But yes, the trajectory of that 25-odd crores loss was the peak, and the numbers will keep on tapering from there. Yeah, that was the peak investment, because that was a strategic decision taken by our board that we will invest to that tune maximum per year.
My sense is that this year it will be less than 15 crores, the loss. I think next year we'll have to recalibrate towards the end of this year, depending on what are the growth opportunities in existing and in new states.
Sure. Just on the bulk business, I mean, my sense is that the volumes for the bulk business were about 48 to 50 million liters. Would that be the right number?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
The volumes for the bulk sales for Q1 of FY25 was the number in the ballpark of 48 to 50 million liters?
52.
Okay. So the question is that between the bulk and the the consumer business, my sense is that the overall volumes were in the ballpark of about 62-64 million liters. You've got a capacity of north of 75 million liters on a quarterly basis. So was there a shutdown?
So there are a couple of things happened there. One is that in Bengal we had a closure for some time. But largely the change, the reduction in production versus capacity is due to a lower throughput on maize in Bengal and Jharkhand as compared to rice. I alluded to this in my opening remarks, that as we are getting better at using maize, we will see productivity gains coming in as well. So, you know, I intend to bridge that gap by about 50% in the next quarter, and then the balance amount in the quarter after that.
Got it. So as essentially from my vantage, it's yield improvement, right? And therefore, to that extent, the absorption of fixed costs must have been limited in Q1, and that should
It's not technically yield improvement. It's your yield is pretty good. Yield defined as alcohol per unit of maize. The issue is on how much maize you can consume per day. So we're looking at ways of increasing that, which is going to come from de-bottlenecking of certain equipment.
Got it. Last question, you know, at 2.2 rupees a liter versus historical averages, I mean, the profitability in the business continues to be suppressed. I mean, how should we look at it? There isn't a strong case for raw mat prices to come down now, insofar as maize is concerned. Rice is a completely different story, hopefully. So how are you looking at it, and how should we probably build on these unit margins for the rest of the year?
Right. So there are two or three things on that. One is that the reason why we have had suppressed margins is due to an abrupt change in FCI policy for allocating rice to the ethanol industry. This took place around July, August of last year. The alternative raw material, which is maize, needs time to for enough supply to be created. We are seeing in the current year almost a 20% increase in area under cultivation for maize. We expect this area under cultivation to grow further. By the time the new policies on maize came out last year, it was too late for those policies to impact the Rabi crop. This is the first crop coming up in the Kharif season where the policies are impacting cultivation, and we are seeing a significant growth. I believe that it will take two Kharif crops and two Rabi crops, about 24 months from now, for there to be sufficient supply of maize in the country. So that's one. The second is, this year, unlike last year, we are expecting a good, or rather a normal crop of paddy. Last year, the crop of paddy was down by, if I'm not mistaken, around 4%. This normal crop of paddy will also lead to a higher production of rice and broken rice, which will help keep costs down. I don't foresee a return to the high margins in this year. I do foresee, however, over this 24-month period, a lot of this pain to subside. Maize offers a very interesting opportunity for Global Spirits, where we can hedge our raw material costs. We did a sort of a proof of concept in the Rabi crop, which turned out to be quite successful. And we are hoping to increase the size of hedge to more meaningful sums in the next Kharif as well as Rabi seasons.
Got it. Just last question, you spoke about rice.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Tarang. We request you to get back to the question queue for any follow-up questions. Next question is from the line of Ashish Ubbanlavar from InvestQ PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah. So, sir, I'm a bit new to your company, but wanted to understand the volatility in margins that we've seen over the years. I understand last call you gave the explanations around the maize inputs that you are now, the plant that you are using, the feed that you are using. So should one expect the margins to go higher in this year? Because if I see for last so many years, it's been fluctuating between 7-8% to even 20% when you touch 20% margin. So what should be the expectation, and what are the drivers for this expectation that you would say?
Right. So as you would have seen on our investor deck, we have said our average of commodity cycle margin is around 7 rupees a liter. We have seen periods of as high as 15 rupees, and we saw periods of as low as 2 to 3 rupees in Q4 and Q1. I believe that, as I was mentioning to Tarang, the previous question, for H1, we do not see significant margin recovery. Margin recovery is going to start coming in after, in Q3 and afterwards. I have explained the reasons just a short while back. But once this cycle sort of plays out, I feel our average margins will very much stay at around 7 rupees. In this line of business, the ethanol business, there is going to be volatility in margins. That is part of our business. Our focus is to operate our plants, generate free cash from the ethanol business, and deploy that in growing our consumer business.
Okay. So we are at the bottom of the margin cycle. That's what the message is probably. And as time goes, maybe in another 6-8 months, we should see maybe 6-7 rupees a liter.
Very much. This is, it's not possible for raw material prices to go any higher than this. There is a sort of a ceiling that's been created because of price fixation by the OMCs. So raw material prices aren't going higher. This is historically the monsoon period. Summer going into monsoon is a bad time for raw material prices. Q1, Q2 have had that historical disadvantage, and Q3, Q4 are better because of the Kharif crop being the major crop in India.
Right. So what I could read is that because of supplies from the government side being lesser, your margins took a hit last year. So that is that situation somewhere improving for us? It should be expected to improve maybe.
It will improve. It will take time for maize cultivation to increase. In the meantime, margins will trend upwards from where they are today. But for complete recovery, it will take a little longer till maize cultivation grows.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Chanda from JM Financial Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my follow-up question on this maize sourcing. Now, the issue is that this has become an industry-wide problem on rice and sugar, as in molasses. And if everybody starts moving to maize over the next 2-3 years, or not fully, but even to hedge out the other raw material sourcing, then this pricing issue can be a fairly longer-term problem. So what really is the solution to this? How feasible it is to get a price hike from the OMCs on the final sales price? Because this is a issue which doesn't seem to be resolving for the last many months and doesn't look like in the future as well, because everybody is struggling with this raw material and everybody is going to source the same raw material all over the country.
So supply of raw material needs to increase. That is the solution. OMC's revised prices in line with MSPs. So there's been a change in MSP for next year, for the next Kharif crop. And to that extent, we have received indication that prices will be increased. I believe they will be. But till such time as maize supply increases, a full recovery in margins will not happen. They will be higher than today. This is very much the lowest point in margins for us. But a complete recovery to, say, 10 rupees or beyond will take longer. The other thing that we are working on is improving our byproduct recovery through producing corn oil and biodiesel. And we are hopeful that towards the end of this year, that project completes as well.
Sure. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participants. The next question is from the line of Imran from Longbow India Capital. Please go ahead. Hello.
Hi, please go ahead.
The line seems to be disconnected, sir. Shall we move on to the next question?
Yes, please.
Okay. So the next question is from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thanks for giving the opportunity. So on this,
Mr. Sarvesh, can you please get a bit closer to your mic?
Is it better now?
Yes, sir, please go ahead.
So on this margin recovery thing, so what I understand is that maybe it will take up to 24 months for these four crop cycles that you alluded to, for you to be able to reach around either the average or beyond average sort of margins, which is 7 rupees. And in the near term, maybe we should move from the current 2.2 towards, maybe 4, 5, 6, whatever, depending on the situation. Is that the right understanding, sir?
Yeah, it's difficult for me to put exactly a number onto what will be the margin in the next couple of calls, in a couple of quarters. But yes, this is the lowest margin period, and margins are going to move up starting from the Kharif crop that comes in towards the end of Q3. As I've mentioned before as well, these margins are for our manufacturing business. Our consumer business continues to grow in revenue as well as profitability, and has no limited impact on that business.
And at the industry level, sir, given this situation of low margins, are there some representations being made for these margins to be improved for you guys? Because I guess now, given this sort of a scenario, I don't think anybody would want to increase their manufacturing capacity, which would probably put a question mark on this ethanol blending program itself, right? So are there any efforts made to increase, since the maize prices are not in our control, but at least on the final product price that we are getting, are there any efforts to sort of take care of that? Because this would be, as I said, now given the situation, no one would want to do manufacturing or increase the manufacturing capacities going forward.
Yes, there are efforts being made with the government, with the oil companies, to find ways to ease the situation. Be that as it may, there is a significant growth in maize cultivation, and let's see how that shapes up towards Q3.
Understood. Now, on your prestige and above segment, now, we had this intermediate target of reaching 20% of our consumer revenue. But I think, at least in this quarter, we have seen very good traction. So, should that continue? Is there a possibility of us achieving this target maybe by end of next financial year?
So, I mentioned this earlier to someone else who asked a similar question. Our regular and others business is growing quite well too. And with our new entrance into UP, it's difficult to project exactly when we will reach 20% because, our entire consumer pie is also growing. So I'm not sure if that is very relevant anymore. What is
the numbers that we are tracking are growth in regular and others and profitability in regular and others, as well as the growth in prestige and above and the profitability in prestige and above.
And
we are quite happy with the current levels of growth in both these businesses. I foresee that these levels should continue for some time.
The earlier target, what you used to mention that since regular and others is a sort of a highly penetrated business and there we were probably hoping for a high single-digit growth. That stands revised now because of entry into UP?
It could. I am not saying that our target is currently revised. Let us see how the launch in UP plays out, and then I will be in a better position to give a target on what should be the regular and others growth. But even without UP, this quarter, we have seen a good growth coming in regular and others. We're pretty happy with this current performance.
And on the margins, now we have gotten to 20% odd levels in the regular and others business. So is there an aspiration to reach a higher number or are there any levers present for us to?
No, I think on regular and others, 20% is a pretty optimum situation. We had some raw packaging material price movements. Those will go up and down, but 20% levels is a very good level for regular and others. In fact, I believe it is the most profitable portfolio of regular and others brands across any other player in the country today.
Would there be any guidance that you would want to give in terms of the overall growth in regular and others for this financial year?
Not at present. The Q1 growth is good. Let us see how UP plays out. We need one or two quarters to complete our launches over there. Once that is done, I'll be in a better position to give a growth indication.
Understood, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sunil Jain from Nirmal Bang Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Sir, my question relates more to rice. A few years back, we were in a position where a lot of rice was available and we were not able to consume and FCA has to buy and all. Now, what is the situation like? How is the economy works for the rice?
I'm sorry, sir. What is the question?
See, I would like to understand since rice was the major raw material which we were consuming earlier and a lot of rice was available in the country. All of a sudden, there is scarcity of rice. And what I understand that we are very much surplus producer of rice. So is that all excess rice has already gone into ethanol and we are short of that?
No, see, if you look at the disclosures made by FCI, the Agricultural Ministry, there is absolutely no shortage of rice as per those disclosures. In fact, FCI is around three times higher in its stock than what is the FCI norm for stock. Be that as it may, the government has now created a policy, well, not now, but last year, where this FCI rice surplus stock will not be given to distilleries. Why that was created is difficult for me to answer, but it is a fact that they have created it. And as of now, they have not chosen to change that policy. That is the stand of the government of India, that FCI must buy more rice for some reason. What perplexes me is coming into the Kharif crop this year, where FCI is going to store this rice. I believe that
they have no longer any more space or capital to procure this rice. But a lot of these are decisions taken by the government for may not be perfect marketplace decisions, but they are still taken by government and policymakers. So let's see how this kharif year plays out. There is a very good crop of paddy in India this year. There is an extremely good crop of maize this year. Things should be better than what they are right now.
So in the current quarter, what was the rice average price you procured? Token rice.
It's in the range of 26 to 27 rupees per kilo.
And what about the maize?
The maize was about 22, 23 because we had a rabi crop this year in East India.
Yeah, correct. Okay, sir. Great. All the best for coming quarter.
Thank you. In order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, we request the participants to limit their questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Imran from Longbow India Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I hope I am audible.
Yes, please go ahead.
My first question is on UP. I was trying to understand the UP market a little better and got to know that there are about 25,000 wine shops. Is it correct or my numbers are totally off the chart?
Was it 25,000?
Yeah.
No, there's something wrong. Pretty sure that I think there are about 70,000 shops in India. Param, UP should be between 6,500 and 7,000, give or take, is my take, without banking on an exact number. Somewhere around there should be the total number of outlets.
Right, so 7,000.
Yeah, maybe a little shy of that.
Yeah. Let's say 6,000, right? If I look at your volumes, that's like about 2,000 cases per day and in the 6-7 state that you are present, right? I was wondering why not focus on, UP more and expand your reach in UP itself before moving to other states, right? So that, because I think some of the brands like Mountain Oak are doing really, really well in UP. So wanted to know your thoughts on this. Why not focus on this and grow, your presence in UP first?
So it's a good thought. So the way we are approaching it is we definitely have in line of our sight further expansion in UP. Having said that, every town which we enter, we have to build capability just by expanding into all the towns. Will overnight, each town will need its own investment. It will need its journey. And then on that journey, once a couple of brands succeed, it will need a bouquet of brands to start performing in that town. So this spread in UP is happening slowly but surely. And we will continue with every passing 6 months, we will continue entrenching ourselves more and more in UP. Having said that, we don't want to become a one-state business. We don't want to put our eggs in one basket, we know alcohol industry. We are spreading ourselves because other states are also very important. So we are doing both. Your thought is taken on board and UP, we will continue to drive depth as well as width of penetration. But it will take time. It cannot happen overnight. Just by doubling our sales force and management team there is not going to overnight yield results in UP because each town will take its journey. I hope I have clarified it. Both will happen. UP is continuing and as well as other states.
Right. So just a first-hand experience I'm sharing with you. I have been, going to a lot of these wine shops in at least Lucknow, and what I found is there are new shops, where let's say Mountain Oak is present, but the constant feedback that I get is that nobody from the company comes to meet them, so that they can increase the volumes. So I think UP needs a lot of work from your side to expand rapidly rather than focusing on, you know, new states. Anyways, I'll leave to that. Leave this thing to you because you are the better judge of this. My second question is on Rajasthan, which is you have not. I think you're not sharing the market share from last many quarters, and particularly last quarter. Can you call out that number? Last quarter, what was the market share?
Yeah, we will. Yes.
In the meantime,
our CL market share in the last quarter has been 29%, and the RML market share has been 68%, with a collective market share of 35.5%.
So, Paramjeetji, you know, I think last year and last to last year, when you were sharing these numbers, the market share was about 33-34%, and it is still hovering about 34-35%. I am wondering, you know, even the government has actually cut down 10% of the overall market share from this Ganganagar sugar mill, and still you are not able to gain market share here. So what is the reason for this? I mean, I thought you will get 6-7% market share. Last two con calls you mentioned, you know, we'll have 6-7 cases out of 10. Now you don't have gained any market share here.
Let me rephrase your information. Government has released their control on RML, and on RML our market share has grown from 57 to 68. On CL this hasn't happened, so CL is still a fight, and we have gained 1% share. So we have actually delivered more than what we had indicated at that point of time. Having collectively we are inching up, and it is a matter of time eventually. We still believe that the business of the government is to manage the business, not to run the business. And let's hope those days come sooner than later.
Right. Operator, can I ask one more question, very quick?
Sure, sir. Please go ahead.
Okay. This one is a follow-up to the, you know, the one of the questions that somebody asked you on the manufacturing side. You mentioned there is certainly a problem with your manufacturing, because you are using maize now. I was wondering, you know, Shekhar, if you do everything well, you do bottlenecking correct and you know, things like that, how much more you can produce? Can you go to 90-95% capacity utilization, or this is the new norm?
No, the target is to go to 90 plus with maize and 95 plus with rice.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Minocha from Adesi Adventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. My question is with regard to the bulk business. So I just wanted to understand, when we are saying that 2.2 rupees EBITDA per liter could be the bottom margin, what is the certainty level on that? Because if I look at maize prices, then maize prices over July and August are again considerably higher than Q1. So do we feel that this is the bottom for the bulk business in terms of 2.2 rupees per liter, or could it go down further in Q2?
I feel that Q4, Q1 levels are the bottom. I don't see further degradation in margins taking place. And yes, maize prices are high, but like I mentioned, we have been able to do some intelligent sourcing of maize in the season for use in off season, and that is helping us currently. Going forward, we will be taking advantage of this opportunity of maize to assure to have less volatility in margins.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you. And my second question is with regard to capacity fungibility. So, I mean, in terms of, firstly, what is the current breakup between maize and rice in the bulk production as raw material usage? And within this, if in case there is, say, a reversal of the government policy, which was not favorable to us,
how quickly can we transition from, say, maize-based production to rice-based production if in case a reversal of the policy makes that more beneficial?
That's fungibility is a matter of just running out the stocks. There's no other problem. So it depends on the inventory you keep. But you know, theoretically speaking, you could change, you know, in the same day that you take a decision, as long as you have inventory. And in Q1, pretty much all of the ethanol we made was from maize, and all of the ENA we made was from rice. So about 50-50 is my estimate of usage in Q1.
Okay, so then in that case, if the policy gets reversed for any reason, then in that case, could we see reversal back to higher, significantly higher margins if in case the price of rice rationalizes?
Yeah, I mean, let's theoretically, if you were to get rice from FCI at similar prices and ethanol prices would remain the same, we'd go back to what it was, yeah.
Thank you so much. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sudhanshu from Avant Holding. Please go ahead.
Hi, my question is on the manufacturing side, and it's a continuation of the questions that have already been asked. So earlier the management mentioned that there was a lower throughput. I want to understand, was that lower throughput due to the lower availability of maize, or was it because of the bottleneck of your plant? And if it's because of the bottleneck, you mentioned that you will need to do certain debottlenecking of equipment. So what would be the cost and timeline associated with that process?
Largely, it was due to bottlenecks in the process. Maize has a lower yield per ton as compared to rice. So the equipment needs to handle a larger mass of raw material to produce the same amount of alcohol. Debottlenecking is not an expensive process. You know, 5-7 crores for our Bengal and Jharkhand plants, but the equipment has a lead time, and that's why it takes a little bit of time. We expect this entire process to be completed by another 2 quarters.
Okay. And I think in the previous call, the guidance that was given was that Q2 would be significantly better than Q1. And now the guidance is being given that H1 will be relatively weak, and the improvement is expected from Q4. So can we understand why there has been this slight change in guidance? What has changed compared to the last call, basically?
Well, I don't recall the statement about Q1 being significantly better than Q4 in terms of our
being better than Q1.
In terms of our bulk business, I think in terms of our consumer business, we are very excited about the prospects, and every quarter we will see a good growth coming in this year. In terms of the bulk business, the commodity situation in India, given that FCI is not releasing its rice stock and that they are, you know, the largest consumer buyer of rice in India by far, has created an artificial shortage of raw material, which is leading to high prices. It is, you know, in my view, it is irrational policy making, but I don't have the vision that the policymakers do in terms of how this policy impacts the economy and the nation. But for our industry or consumers of starch, it is leading to low margins across any starch industry.
Okay, thank you, and best of luck for the rest of the quarters.
Thank you. Next question is on the line of Siddharth Purohit from Invesco Investment Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, hi, sir. Sir, does the conversion cost or the energy cost differ in case of using corn and rice?
There are differences, yes, but there are also differences in the selling price, which compensates for the higher costs. Rice ethanol sells at 64 rupees, maize ethanol sells at 72. You know, there are differences, yes.
Okay. And sir, I understand the landed cost of the imported maize is higher because of the input duty, but some industries have demanded a kind of, you know, relaxation. But currently, what is the average difference between like, you know, imported price and domestic price?
For ethanol, imports are not permitted. It is possible that the poultry industry and the other starch producers import, which will lead to a general softening in maize prices. Currently, I believe the difference is almost 2 rupees a kilo. But, you know, because the international price is not something that I track, because our focus is on finding efficient ways of getting maize and rice in India.
Got it. So one more clarification. There's a big change in the excess duty rate, and we operate in multiple states. So, there have been some changes in some states, and I believe it's a complete pass-through, right?
Excise duty is passed through to consumers, yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek from Padmaja Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So recently I have read a news that Andhra Pradesh is actually changing their excise policy. Do you plan to get into that state?
Currently, the 7 states that we have are the ones that we are focusing on. For this year, there are no further states planned. For future periods, we can talk about it towards the end of this year.
Okay. And another thing is, in the prestige and above category, you have mentioned in the presentation that Mountain Oak is actually showing good traction. So, which state is it actually focused in? Is it having good traction?
Uttar Pradesh and Delhi.
Okay. And this 0.2 million cases that you are saying, majority of that comes from Uttar Pradesh and Delhi. Like, what percentage do these two states contribute in the total quantum?
About 60% of our prestige and above volumes come from Uttar Pradesh and Delhi.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, that's all. I mean, great
thank
job
you.
On the question.
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up question from the line of Ankit Manocha from Adezi Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the second opportunity. My question is with regard to the distribution for the consumer business and the sales team. So currently, what would be the strength of the sales team? Are there any plans in terms of addition?
Yeah, our current strength should be about 100 all direct people and a little more than that indirect people who are helping sell out. That is the current strength. Yes, the sales team will gradually keep on increasing as our penetration in existing states and the new states which we have opened up continue to expand. It is likely to keep stepping up, but it will step up at a far more slower pace now because no further state is envisaged to be opened up. There is a surge when we open up a state, if it is in the main state. And then when people get added in a state, it is 1, 1, 2, 2 at a time as we keep opening new geographies. No major number is going to, no major change in this number is likely to happen this year.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar from Kamaya Care Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to know, my question is in regards to manufacturing business. Now, sir, from last year Q2, the problem is starting from the raw material. So from this year, Q1, we shifted to maize as the raw material. So just wanted to know the trajectory of margin going forward compared to the last year. Do you see the improvement on a YoY basis for this year compared to the last year of margin?
Sir, if you, you know, we spent considerable time on this topic on this call. The transcript will be posted in case you missed the answer. But, you know, just in a nutshell, this is the lowest margin level that we envisage. For a complete recovery, it will, we would need maize cultivation to increase. We will see after Q3 prices, realizations increase as prices come down based on Kharif crop.
Fair enough, sir. Sir, my next question is on the consumer business. So we see the industry report that tequila is gaining good traction. Any plans for entering, you know, for coming up any tequila brand going forward?
You know, we have innovations planned across various product categories. We, due to confidentiality reasons, we are not in a position to divulge the initiatives taken by the innovations team. As and when products are ready for launch, we do inform, we do make public the plans of launch. For example, the next is a single malt whiskey, and we have a few others that are indicated on our corporate presentation, but not in a position to talk about any other initiatives of the innovations team.
Fair enough. That was helpful. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is a follow-up from the line of Imran from Longbow India Capital. Please go ahead.
I forgot to ask power and fuel cost. Can you please give that?
Nilanjan, do you have that?
The power and fuel cost for Q1 FY25 was 48 crores.
48 crores. Okay, I think so. Looks like there's another saving on the power and fuel cost.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sai Narayan, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Shekhar and team. I just want to know, actually, what is the typical cash conversion cycle of Global Spirit and how much we are spending on maintenance capex every year?
So, Nilanjan, can you take that?
Yeah. The cash conversion cycle, as far as debtors is concerned, anything in the average of 45 days. And on different segments of different credit cycle, but I've told you on an average 45 days. And on maintenance capex every year, it's anything in the range of 22 to 28 crores.
22 to 28 crores. Okay. So the next question is with respect to the prestige and above segment, as Param was mentioning, this is the third or fourth year, and we were present in 5 states actually. So any idea how many states will break even in the coming year or any timeline for it?
Yeah, Param, are you there? Maybe his line dropped off. So one state is close to break even currently. We are hoping for 2 states to break even by the end of the year. Yeah. So the second state, we are reasonably confident that either by the end of this year or hopefully in the first half of next year, the second state will start coming into the green. And we also are very sure that at least the third state sometime in the first half of the next year should come into this zone. And we will see if we can try and turn around the next fourth and the fifth state also in the second half of next year. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
I think that was it.
Yes, sir. The line for Mr. Sai seems to have dropped.
Okay, can we go to the next?
That was the last question for the day, sir.
All right. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining the call. Please do have a look at our releases as well as, you know, the details of our team are available on our releases. Please get in touch if there are any further questions. Thank you.
On behalf of Global Spirits Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.